Welcome to the show. Today we will be talking to a friend who is from Zimbabwe to learn more about their culture, history, and way of life. Our guests will share their experiences and stories. So let's listen and learn together.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So first of all, let's introduce our host.
Hi, everyone. I think you have pretty familiar with my voice. I am past president Eric. Woo!
And let's introduce our new friend, Zoe.
Hey, hi, Zoe here. I'm now serving as a financial consultant in Deloitte, and we have a lot of chances to get in touch with the Banker Association, which has been focusing on fintech this year. And so I'm really looking forward to today's chat with our guest today.
Nice.
And
That's me.
I am your new friend. I said that because I'm going to take over Eric's job.
Yes. Oh my God. I've become jobless. He will become a new chair next year.
Yeah. Hope you guys enjoy this episode. So let's welcome our guest, Kuda.
Hey, yeah. Kuda.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, Kuda, so could you like to do a self-introduction a little bit, like what? Because I know that one of our hosts, Zoe, her major is in, what he currently do in right now is in fintech. Yeah. I know your major is fintech as well.
Yeah, I'm currently studying for my master's degree in information and finance management. I'm currently studying for my master's in information and finance management in Baykeda. Previously I studied accounting, so I thought that finance is going to be influenced by technology, by digital transformation. So I started looking for programs that could offer me an opportunity to develop my tech skills more. There are not so many programs around the world, and because I wanted something that's more technical. And because my background is business, so I thought that I already know enough about business, so I wanted something technical. And Baykeda has got a very technical program that merges computer science and finance.
Interesting.
Okay. So, like me, I barely know about Zimbabwe.
Yeah, we hear about that, but we really don't know where.
Yeah. So how is the environment and the climate?
The climate, the temperatures is like Taipei. It doesn't rain as much as Taipei does. Okay. But yeah, it's sunny. Even if it's sunny, it's cold. The climate, the temperatures, they have the same range as Taipei, 9, 8, 10, 14, 15, 16, right now. And in the summer, and because we're in the south of the equator, so right now it's summer.
It must be super hot, right?
Yeah, in some areas, but in some areas it's not. It depends on the latitude, on how you are above the sea level. In some areas it's hot, in some areas it's not so hot. But I can say that it's just like Taipei, just that it doesn't
just like
rain.
Taipei,
yeah, but it doesn't rain as much as Taipei does.
We are also interesting about like what are the traditional cuisine food in your country?
The traditional food, I think, in most of Southern Africa is maize, which you call corn.
Corn.
Yeah, but we call it maize. We call it maize.
Okay.
So corn is an American word.
Okay.
Yeah, so we ground it into a powder, into a flour. And we make some kind of a thick porridge out of it. So it's very thick. Yes. So that's like, you know it, right?
Yeah, because I saw it on TikTok.
TikTok. Oh, wow. TikTok.
Oh, my God. Young kid.
So, yeah, we call it sadza. But most Southern African nations eat it. But you can use any any cereal plant. Mm. You can use wheat, you can use any other cereal plant, but we mostly use maize because maize was introduced by the Europeans when they came to Africa. So it's quite easy to make it out of maize.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we it's like the carbohydrate base.
Did you find any like food familiar in Taiwan?
No.
No. So there's no Zimbabwe restaurant in Taiwan.
Yeah. There's no Zimbabwe.
Yeah. What a pity. So what will you do if you really want to have something to eat in Taiwan?
I just eat rice and noodles and McDonald's.
McDonald's, okay.
Yeah. I haven't had my staple food since I came here, so
And like, what do people usually do in Zimbabwe in their free time?
They go like fishing, you know, because we have a lot of dams, and they also watch football.
Football.
Which you call soccer.
No. We don't call soccer. Only US people call soccer. You know that, right?
Yeah.
If you watch soccer, you're definitely a big fan of the World Cup.
Well,
probably.
I said people in Zimbabwe, but yeah, for me, like we were conversing before, I'm not really good at sport.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm familiar with
football.
Yeah, I'm familiar. So that's what people do. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, and we watch the EPL, the English Premier League, mostly. Yeah.
Okay.
So, what's the most popular thing in Zimbabwe, and what are the most to do while we have a chance to visit Zimbabwe?
Well, a lot.
A lot.
Because we have first the Victoria Falls. You know, it's the largest falls in the world.
Mm. The largest forest.
Waterfall, yeah, the largest waterfall in the world. So we have that. It's very beautiful and very big. Mm. Yes. And we have a lot of national parks. Mm. We have a lot of wildlife, the big five, elephants, lions, cheetahs, that are in national parks. So, yeah, you can cruise through the forest. But we don't have forests. We have what we call savannas. So the forest, the vegetation is different from Taiwan. So you can cruise through and have breakfast with giraffes and elephants.
Elephants, okay.
Yeah.
So like we can have a safari tour?
You can have a safari tour where you can actually, stay in a lodge and there are elephants neighbors. So when you're having your breakfast.
Elephant neighbors. So you mean we can have your breakfast with them?
Yeah, when you're having your breakfast, they'll be coming over your table and things like that. So I think it's beautiful. Yeah.
Ooh. And I also searched on internet about like how to travel in Zimbabwe, but the trend is we didn't have much information about it.
Yeah.
About
how to travel to Zimbabwe from Taiwan.
Oh yeah, from Taiwan. For me, I use Qatar Airways. You have to fly through Dubai.
Dubai first.
Yeah. But you can use other ways. I think you can use maybe through Malaysia or Singapore or Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you can do that as well.
So okay. Do you recommend us to go alone or like we have to go with
a
tour?
Yeah, I think with the tour because that's one of the major differences between Zimbabwe and Taiwan. Taiwan has got a very good transportation system.
Okay.
So as a tourist, I can travel here alone, but I don't think you can do that if you are, so you need maybe a tour guide, to be able to do that.
Okay,
it's easy. Yeah, you can just go. We have tourist cities like Victoria Falls. It's a city on its own, so I think it's quite easy because we have a lot of tourists in that city.
Okay.
And also, like, what is the official language in your country? What if I just been there? How could I communicate with the people?
Oh, the official language is English.
English, okay. So we don't need to worry about that.
Yeah, the official language is English. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we have other native languages because we have different ethnic groups in the country.
Okay.
Yeah.
And also one thing I want to add on Jim's questions, like if we are travelers, we've been to your country, is there any taboo or anything we need to notice about that, trying to not make you angry or...
I think we're quite welcoming to foreigners.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't think there's Maybe. Okay.
Okay. I hear maybe.
One of the things that I've made us angry is when you go to safari and you, because you are also allowed to do safari hunting. Mm-hmm. But
safari hunting?
Yeah, safari hunting, like go into the wild and hunt for lions, things like that.
Okay. Oh.
So, but yeah, I've seen that we kind of don't, you know, yeah, it's not a nice feeling for somebody to come into your home and kill your animals. And but it's quite, I think it's allowed by some regulations sometimes. Mm. But yeah, we kind of don't appreciate it if somebody comes in and
show off.
And show off that, oh, I have killed a lion there. Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I noticed that some of the influence around the on YouTube and the TikTok.
Yeah.
They will try to up the photos and the videos.
Yeah.
And people are angry about that.
Yeah. So if you go safari, I think you just enjoy the animals and don't try to shoot them down.
Okay. So another question would be like, if you are a tour guide.
Yeah.
And we three are going to travel in your country. What will you do? What will lead us, Captain Kuda?
Okay, first of all, because I've lived in one part of Zimbabwe, not the part of Victoria Falls, but I would definitely take you to Victoria Falls. Victoria Falls, because we have heard, I think, I'll take you to Victoria Falls first.
Okay.
And then we can do a road trip because there are a lot of national parks along the way, maybe from Victoria Falls to the capital city, Harare. So we can...
What is the name of the capital city again?
Harare.
Harare.
Yes. Harare. Yeah.
Harare.
Yeah.
Means they don't sleep.
They don't sleep. You don't sleep. So it's like party party?
No. Yeah, I think it was named after some witches that they don't sleep. Something like that. I'm not sure.
Very interesting. Now I think three of us are... We can wait to visit your country.
Yeah. And it's not just Victoria Falls. We have other cultural, historical artifacts. Like we have an ancient city. That nobody really agrees who built it. Like Zimbabwe is called, means in English, House of Stone.
House of Stone?
Yeah, Zimbabwe means House of Stone. So we have an ancient city that was made out of stone, like no cement, something like that. And it's another city, so it's also a place of interest when you to visit.
But do people live there or?
No. It was people lived there like in the 14th century. Oh. Yeah, so nobody was really nobody has a definite stance on who built it, but it was built by the natives.
Native.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and we can go to a news part. We hear about that the inflation in your country is pretty high. And what do you think about it? And also, you know, recently there is the news that one of the bank has bankrupt in the U.S. Okay. And as you are major in fintech, what do you think about in that aspect?
Okay, so I'll answer the first question first. So, yeah, the inflation, it has been a challenge. But it was really bad around 2008, 2007.
Okay.
That was when it was really, really bad. When it was, I don't think it was measurable in any times because we had $1 trillion, something like that. So, yeah, it was not really, it was bad. And the cause of that was, it was economic sanctions. So, so you can't really trade with other countries and issues like that. And right now, there is inflation, but it's not as bad as it was back then. And because now we use multi-currencies, so... Yeah.
Multi-currency, is it a law? I mean...
Yeah. So people for trade, they basically use United States dollars. And in the Victoria Falls, the city that I told you that where we have most foreigners, we have set up a new stock exchange that is only traded in United States dollars.
Mm. Okay.
So, I think for businesses, we really use the United States dollars. So inflation is in our currency, but people don't really, use it, like,
as a currency.
So we use, even for work, you get paid in United States dollars. For school fees, you pay. So for everything else, rent, but maybe for the little things, maybe... Yeah, that's when you can use
That like having the multi-currency policy have made the inflation stop?
The inflation is still there because sometimes there are certain things that you might need to pay in the home currency. So it's still there for the home currency, yeah. Because, you know, that economic law, that bad money drives out good money. So people are always like, you know, trying to buy maybe United States dollars. So there's always an oversupply of the local currency.
Yes.
So you still have to exchange.
Yeah, you have to exchange sometimes when you have the local currency. So, yeah, that's kind of the market dynamics. Yeah.
Okay, because we saw the news about you're using the local currency as a toy. I mean,
as a toy.
Yeah.
Is that true or is just a fake news?
Back then, yeah, like when inflation hits around 100, let's say 100, $1 trillion knot.
Wow.
It becomes to make any sense. It stops making any sense to anyone, right?
Yes.
So, yeah. Yeah, it was true, maybe in 2008, but not now. Now it has quite stabilized because we use a multi-currency system.
Okay, that's something we want to hear about because there is so many information on the internet.
It was crazy back then, but now I think it is stabilized because we use a multi-currency system and it's still there, it doesn't really now affect day-to-day living because now you have another means of, you know, an economic token that you can exchange with each other. Yeah.
Okay, so like I mentioned, the second question would be, because you're a major in fintech,
yeah.
What do you think about the multi-currency influence your country? And also, what do you think about the bankrupt in US? Did that influence your country?
I don't think that, of course, it would affect my country. I don't think that it would affect my country. But of course, because we trade United States dollars,
yes.
So our country is under economic sanction from the U.S. government. And we use that currency. So in some ways, whatever happens in the U.S. economy will affect us, but not just us, even elsewhere around the globe, because the U.S. is a very important player, right? But yeah, it would affect us to some extent. But what's happening with the SV Bank for now, this is my personal opinion. I think it is just maybe poor risk management on the side of the bank because they didn't really anticipate the economy well, like, the interest rates is going to go up. And they made some really bad investments.
Exactly.
Now, yeah. So I think it was just poor regulation and they made some bad decisions on their investment. So, and I think the depositors, they're well covered. So I don't think, they're insured well enough. So I don't think the effects can spill over to the rest of us.
Okay.
But maybe for the businesses that were, attached to the bank, the businesses that relied on the loans, and yeah, maybe those are the ones that are going to be affected. And it depends on how big the businesses are and how the impact they have in our day-to-day lives. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is that one of the reasons that, I mean, like, because you're a major in the fintech,
yeah.
Is there anything that you want to imply in your country after you learn the skills?
Because of the bad economic situation that we had previously, we do have some tech innovations, you know, in my country, especially in terms of financial payments.
Okay.
Yeah, we have, they have been running for quite some years, but maybe some tech to help people maybe to get more into savings and investment.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that. But now my focus personally is moving maybe to serve businesses more than the consumers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And can you share more about your culture and politics about your country with us?
Oh, yeah. So,
yeah, since we're talking about economy.
Yeah, yeah. So the reason why our economy was, you know, playing somersaults was because of the politics, right?
The politics. Yeah. Like, so just make sure that, is that okay you speak the truth here?
Yeah. No, I don't think it's, the truth is relative. So I don't think there's anyone who can say this is the truth. It's my personal opinion.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
So, yeah. And I think politics is, I'm getting out, I think it's gray. It's not black and white. You know, it's the, there's never the truth, or there's always elements of truth and elements of lies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, depending on who you're speaking to, right? It's always a gray area. So my personal opinion here is because of the politics, right? And we were given economic sanctions because Zimbabwe was under the British rule, right?
Okay, colonized by British?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. So the white people owned the means of production, the farms, mainly the farm, because it has got a very good climate. Imagine Taipei here, right?
Mm.
And good soil and everything. So the white population, the Zimbabwe, the white Zimbabweans, they owned like the land.
They own the resource.
All the resources. And black people didn't own anything.
Mm.
They weren't allowed to do any other jobs, maybe besides nursing and teaching.
Okay. Yeah.
So after independence, the black people were trying to redistribute the wealth, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
And there was also a little bit of corruption on the black government. You know, it always, every government is corrupt, right? So in trying to win the popular support, the president said, okay, I'm going to give you land to you black people.
Okay, but where's the land? Where's the rent from?
He just went in and grabbed the white people's land, the white government's land, and gave it to black people. And
is that okay?
Wow.
Wow.
That depends. Well, it's the way he did it is not okay, but the concept is okay because you can't have the minority owning the means of production.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
So rearranging the resource.
Yeah, yeah. But then the reason that he did it, of course, he told people that I'm doing it maybe for economic empowerment, but it was just for his political
purpose. Yeah,
yeah, purpose. Mm. Yeah. So it wasn't really for that. But yeah, so other governments, mainly the British government and the United States government, said, okay, we're going to give you sanction. You cannot just take away land. Mm. So yeah, that's how we turned over our heads. Because before that, Zimbabwe was actually called the bread basket because we had a lot of farmers.
Mm.
Yeah, so they cut the means of financing and things like that. So the economy turned over.
Okay, how about something more diplomatic? I mean, you have been colonized by the
British
government,
yeah.
And what's the relationship between your country and the British and also the US?
We are not, it's quite love, between like a love-hate relationship, because those governments, they are the biggest donors, but they are not quite pleased with the way that our previous president redistributed the land.
Yes.
So there are still some sanctions that they placed on the country because of that, because they're not pleased. But we do have our relationships.
Mm.
And because of that, our president was like, okay, we are also moving out of the Commonwealth. You know, the Commonwealth is a group of countries,
yes,
that were previously under British rule. So our president was like, we're moving out of that, all of that. So our relationship is not really quite stable with those countries. And yeah. So our best buddy in the world, in the diplomatic world, is probably Beijing, China. Yeah.
You mean your friends?
Yeah. China and Russia. Yeah.
Wow, that's something.
Because for us, I mentioned that black people had to
fight,
right? Yes. So for us to fight, the people who trained us were the Chinese and the Russians. Those are the people that trained most of African nations. That's why African nations have got a strong relationship with Russia and China, because
yes, exactly,
they are the people that freed them from colonialism. They they gave them weapons and training and things like that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
they offer you the resources?
Yeah, to go and fight against colonial governments. Mm-hmm. So that's why even up to this day, it's quite difficult for you to decouple the African governments and Russia and and China, because they have been together since the 1950s, since Mao Zedong's era, you know. And yeah,
I believe that's one of the core value we have interview like this, because most of the time we feed by the Western news.
Yeah.
So we will think about Russia, Beijing, they're bad. But however, we also like to have your voice.
But of course, they're also doing it maybe for their own political. Like I said, politics is gray.
Yes, and there's no true black, no true white.
But it's nice to hear the different aspects.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so thank you for letting us know about Zimbabwe.
Yes.
Let's talk about Taiwan. Okay. Okay, my bad. So what's the first impression when you're living in Taiwan? Are you okay?
I'm fixing my mic. So my first impression about Taiwan is, I think it's beautiful. And the people are really, really friendly, especially if they see that you are a foreigner.
You mean beautiful? Yeah. You talk about Taiwan or Taiwanese girl?
That is an important question.
Be careful.
Yeah, the people are beautiful and the land is beautiful as well.
Yeah.
And the people are really friendly, especially if they see that you're a foreigner.
Mm-hmm.
Like you walk in the store, you probably see that they're wondering if you know what you're doing, and they may be trying to help you. Yeah. So I think they are really friendly. Mm. But okay, I'm fixing my mic here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
Okay. So. Okay. So sometimes they may come off as maybe a little bit shy.
Mm.
Yeah, but I think maybe sometimes it's they might think that their English is not good.
Mm.
So they think that okay, he doesn't speak Chinese. So sometimes you might look at them and they may come off as shy, but I don't think they are really, really shy. It's just that maybe they think that they don't know how to communicate with you.
Yeah.
So they might be doing, you might think, okay, they're just focusing on themselves, but they might not, they just thinking that they're not able to communicate with you.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think overall they are just really friendly from my own experience.
Yeah. Okay, so you have lived in Taiwan. How long have you lived in Taiwan?
A little over a year now. Yeah, I came in November 2021.
So what is any culture shock?
I think everything, because
everything
because my culture is complete opposite of Taiwanese culture, the food, yeah, everything. So I think I had to adjust a lot for me, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The food, because Chinese food, the spices that you use in your food, the way you cook your food,
yes,
it's completely different, you know. Okay. Yeah, so I had to adjust my taste buds, my palates and everything to hear.
What if you need to name one that thing you feel the most shock? Like, oh wow. Yeah, what is it? Oh wow thing, Taiwan.
Like that girl always very sure story.
It has to be about the food. For me it's with like soy sauce, right?
Okay.
It's in everything. Mm. Right? It's in everything, mostly everything.
Yeah, we soy sauce. Yeah, we use soy sauce of everything.
Soy sauce. So yeah, for me, and yeah, you're trying to eat a sandwich, you open up, there's soy sauce, and for me, it's a completely foreign taste. We don't use it; we use other sauces. So yeah, I think when I got here, I lived in a hotel for my quarantine. I couldn't eat the breakfast because it was really foreign for me to have. Or maybe combination of sweet and sour things
at once
on one sandwich. Yeah, so
sandwich.
So if I'm eating something, if the breakfast is sweet, then yeah, it has to be sweet. You're having pancakes and maybe with honey and things like that. But it was a little bit different for me. It was a little bit of a shock for me. So yeah, I had struggle with having breakfast.
Okay, that's for the food part. How about like the people part? What do you think? Wow, I didn't know that Taiwanese would do like that. Yeah. I didn't expect that.
What is it?
Yeah, you heard my example.
Because there have been really okay. The thing is, okay, in the Emirati, right?
Emirati,
So in the Emirati, usually you just find that people are quiet, right? They observe the rules. They're standing in queues. Yeah, it's also different. You know, it's if you go where we take public transport in my country, people are shouting here and there. You know, and so it was like, why do they all behave the same way? Why are they like so quiet? Why are they like all sitting down and, you know, hushed, things like that? So yeah, it was a little bit of okay.
I think that's because we've been colonized by the Japan, and if you didn't act well, you'll be considered as abnormal, so people didn't like you. So we want everyone like the same. We follow the rules. If you don't follow the rules, you're out of the country, something like that.
So it was a little bit of something new for me.
And can I ask that which part in Taiwan you love the most?
I haven't been to most of Taiwan, so my answer here would not be give you sufficient evidence. But so far from the areas that I've been to most of northern Taiwan. I think the coast, because I love
the coast.
The coast?
I love walking around the coast. So yes.
The coast.
Yeah. So I love the combination of the mountains, the sea, and the sky. So walking around the coast is, it's really beautiful.
You mean the nature part of Taiwan?
Yeah, because that's what I've only done so far.
I also love that.
Yeah.
You can watch the ocean in front of you.
And the mountains.
Mountain back
and
of
the
you.
Sky.
Feel the wind.
Exactly,
breeze on your face.
so that's where I have been so far. I haven't been to the south, but I think I'll maybe during summer I may travel to the south.
You must go.
That time we will be your tour guide. In exchange, you will be our tour guide when we visit Zimbabwe.
I heard that it doesn't rain as much.
Yeah, but we unfortunately could only see elephants in the zoo.
But you have a lot of mountains, like
exactly,
and monkey.
Lots of monkey. That's true.
So, would you like to share about anything interesting when you travel in Taiwan?
When you travel,
what you mentioned, like public transportation.
Maybe this is not something serious, but for me, when I travel in Taiwan, because as I mentioned, I've only traveled maybe to the north, Hsinchu, Taoyuan, Taipei, Keelung.
Yeah.
For me, when you travel in Taiwan, I try to avoid Taipei Main Station.
Because
I always get lost there.
Not just you.
So I try to use Banqiao.
Okay.
So for traveling, if you're traveling in time, because you waste, especially if you're traveling on time, you waste a lot of time trying to figure out where is where. So I try to avoid Taipei Main Station unless I have lots of time. But it's
unless you have only one choice.
Because
we have MRT, high speed railroad,
bus, shuttle bus,
the malls and everything.
Everything in one
place.
It's complicated.
It's very complicated. Yeah.
You have no idea how many years I have been familiar with Taipei Main Station. It took me about like 6 years
to figure out
the structures.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got MRT Taipei Main Station and also the Taipei Main Station of high speed railway.
Yeah.
Also the shuttle bus for Taipei Main Station.
And Taoyuan.
Taoyuan. Yeah. The airport. Station.
So I always get lost there. So I try to avoid it.
You're not alone.
Yeah, you're not alone. I still cannot figure it out.
Anything else, like when you're traveling in Taiwan? I mean, most of the time you can take probably transportation, but have you ever think about riding your bicycle or motorcycle or even drive a car?
No, I haven't driven a car or motorcycle, but I do rent the bicycle because like I say, Taiwan has got a good infrastructure, you know, so I usually take the bike and do bike rides along the river park.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of part, I mean, in Taiwan, you probably need to drive a car and you can reach the place.
Yeah, especially the central Taiwan because
the attractions.
Like, I haven't because I haven't figured out the logistics on how to do that and how to. I have a driver's license from my own country, but I don't. We have different road routes because we drive on the different right side.
Okay.
Left side.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, it's different.
Yeah. It's different. Yeah. It's okay. Different. So, yeah, I haven't even attempted to figure it out, to be honest. Yeah. So I just rely, when I travel, I just rely on the public transport.
Okay, so here's one secret for you. If you want to do a trip, you can always find some Taiwanese who have a car, and he can give you a ride.
Like Jim,
yeah. Yeah. Now you know him.
Yeah.
And he's a guy love to having a party of traveling.
Oh, okay. Yeah okay. So, yeah, you'll be my tour guide, too, especially I think that's also one of the reasons why I haven't ventured down here, down there, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So do you have any place that you want to visit in Taiwan in the future?
Yeah. I want to visit because central Taiwan has got lots of mountains, right?
Yes. Jade Mountain?
Yeah, Jade Mountain and, yeah, Shuishan.
Xuesan,
I hope to.
Snow Mountain.
Yeah, Snow Mountain. Mm. Yeah,
it seems like you really like the nature.
I love walking around, even in the city. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So I think hiking is in a little bit advanced form of walking. So, yeah.
Okay. So another question would be: is this easier for you to make friends in Taiwan?
Yeah.
I can't say. It depends on, well, for me, I think yes, because I go to church, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Also, I'm a graduate student, so you have people that you learn with, that you're in the same laboratory with, that you're doing research with, so you have, so you can have people that you interact with. But I can't say it's really this same experience for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For me, I think because I have some interaction with the Taiwanese, and the people that I interact with, they are also confident in their English speaking ability. So, yeah. But for most, like I mentioned earlier, they want to talk to you, but they feel like they are not able to talk to you. But
able to talk.
So I think maybe it kind of gets frustrating. Like they just, I don't know, okay, let me just give up on this. Because I've had some interactions. Yeah.
Okay.
So the church that you go is the international church?
Yeah.
That speaks English?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I just wonder, how do you know Eric?
Oh, Eric is a friend of my friend.
Okay.
Right? So, Andrew, you know him?
Oh.
Yeah. So, we used to go to church together at Bali with Andrew. Yeah.
And I think one day that Andrew told us we can have a
New Year
party.
Oh. And you were there.
Yeah. I was there.
Yeah.
So, that's why we met each other.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So what made Taiwan stand out to you when you're choosing to going abroad?
First of all, like I mentioned, the type of program that I wanted to do wasn't, sometimes the things that I wanted to learn, sometimes you can find them in a financial engineering program. But I also wanted to learn the computer science part of things. Mm. Yeah. So the Beikeda offered this unique program that offered strong software principles and also tech, also finance. But for me, finance, I think my background already had covered that. So I was mainly concerned with the tech part. Yeah, the computer science part.
But how do you know the information from Beikeda?
And so I was applying to a lot of schools around the world, right?
Oh, around the world.
Yeah, I was applying because I could also go into a data science program.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But what eventually stood out from Taiwan was the cost of living. I figured out that I could live here and maybe work part-time. And they also offered me a generous scholarship.
Okay.
So eventually it came down to the cost of living. Yeah, in Taiwan, I think it was relatively cheaper than the other places where I got accepted.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because what I hear from is you say your country have a good relationship with Russia and China. I'm thinking you will take that as a candidate as well.
Yeah, I do. Okay. I did apply there. Yeah, I did apply. But yeah, I didn't really get in any of those. Where I got, we mainly go to the States and South Africa and the UK.
UK.
Yeah. Yes, our former colonizers. Yeah.
Did you try to like ask anyone from that someone graduate from that country and ask about their opinion? So you just search on the internet.
I just searched on the internet and read a lot of blogs and
blogs.
You know, and things like podcasts like this. They offer opinion to other people on the internet searching for information. So
wow.
So yeah,
so we become pretty important.
Yeah, because that's how you go on blogs, you read forums of what people say about Taiwan and how you can live and things like that. So you have to dig in to do a little bit of research.
Okay,
so
I'm
that's
quite
what I did.
Curious right now. So you mean you have read a lot of blogs, post, listen to the.
Yeah.
What do they usually talk about Taiwan?
So the blogs that I researched on were about foreigners, especially foreigners from Southern Africa, because most people here from Southern Africa than from Eswatini and South Africa. Yeah. So we don't have. I haven't met a Zimbabwean here yet. So yeah. So I was just researching on how the experiences were when they moved here, what to expect, and yeah, things like that.
Those are good thing. I mean, generally speaking.
Yeah, that's why I'm here. And that's why I'm here. Yeah. And yeah, they were talking about the low crime rate and things like that. Yeah.
So maybe one day in the future, you will also write a post about how to apply university in Taiwan from Zimbabwe.
Yeah. Because we don't have diplomatic relations with Taiwan.
So you're right.
So applying to come here for a visa was also quite a challenge, you know, because I had to travel to South Africa, to Pretoria, and go back and forth. I did a lot of back and forth for me to apply the visa. So it's also a challenge. I think that's why we don't have many people from Zimbabwe here, because it's not an easy process. You have no contact, anyone to contact in Zimbabwe.
Okay, so what do you mean is if you have something happen in Taiwan, who will you contact with? Wow. That's what happened.
I don't know. We'll see when that happens, but for now,
I mean, maybe in the future, you will be the president of Zimbabwe, so that that time we can build the connection.
Maybe.
It depends on you.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, because I have researched a lot of video on YouTube.
Yeah.
Actually, a lot of people don't know about Taiwan.
Exactly, yeah. People are... when I talk sometimes to people from home, they'll be like, are you in Thailand?
Exactly.
Oh my God. Yeah, so that's not stereotype. That's still the truth.
Yeah.
2023.
Yeah. So people are like, how's Thailand?
Okay.
And how is the education system in Taiwan different from Zimbabwe?
I think it's also different.
Really?
Yeah, because... Yeah, I've had the chance to interact with the Taiwanese education system, because I also work part-time as an English teacher in public school. Public school, yeah, English teacher. As a teaching assistant, actually, as a teacher.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. Teaching for kids?
Yeah, elementary students. From grade 1 to 6.
Okay. So what do they call you? Teacher Kuda.
Yeah.
Kuda teacher.
Not a car.
I've had experience with it. So I think it's completely different. First, I think people here in town, the kids, they're always in school. Like, we teach them from morning to two, three, two, four. They go. They don't go home. Some other person comes and tags them to cram school.
Cram school again. Yes. Oh my God.
Yeah,
nightmare.
I think. Yeah. For me, I grew up coming home from grade 1 to 2. School ends at 12 or 1. You go home and you watch cartoons. You play with your friends.
Yes.
Yeah, that's jealous.
You sleep. Then tomorrow morning you do the same. Then as you get older, maybe that's when it starts getting maybe a little bit intense. But in Taiwan, it's completely normal to find maybe a 16-year-old going home at 10 p.m.
Yeah.
And I only did that when I was doing my A levels, my final year in high school. Yeah. So it's completely different in terms of how people learn. I think it's more academic. Yeah, more academic. Then in terms of the structure, our system is British. Like we have different, we have different types of schools in Taiwan. Yeah, because it mirrors the British system.
Do you think that the way you teach the students would be more open-minded than Taiwan?
It depends, because a lot of sometimes African countries, the legacy of colonialism is that some of that baggage, we still have it. It's still evident in even the education system. So in Zimbabwe, we have mainly three types of schools. I think it's true for most Southern African countries. We have Group A schools, Group B schools, and Group C schools. So previously, these schools were designed in such a way that white people go to this type of school.
White people go to that type of school?
Yeah, black people go. This was during colonial times, right? Okay. They were white Zimbabweans. They go to these schools only, white people only. Then there were B schools where Chinese people, Indians, and colored people, the mixed race. Then they had C schools where black people would go. So the culture in those schools is different, completely different. So you can have kids in A schools having a different experience, completely different experience from kids in C schools. So so it's a little bit different.
So do you think that they separate different people in ABC school is something good?
Yeah, so even now, because of that, because you cannot just change the systems are really hard to change. Now it's too evident there's still B schools, even though now it's now multiracial. You can go to any school you like, right?
Yeah.
But still the structural things in the system, it's hard for you to just... Yeah, so the policies that were there, they kind of still... Even in the national laws of the countries, some of the laws that were implemented by colonial people, they're still there. You know, they still, you know, stay in the constitution, hidden in the documents. It's really hard to pull out to change the culture like that. So, so you can have different experiences, across the...
So, because you are being the teacher in elementary school and you're in the public school.
Yeah.
So, what do you think about as a teacher? Do you think you're only obligated to teach English, or do you think about you need to share more with the kids?
No, I have to. I share more, because some of them, I think they haven't maybe seen someone with black skin before. So they are curious because they're kids. So sometimes I have to share. I have to share a lot about me as well. Yeah. And for my job, I don't only I teach English, but I do co-teaching in other classes as well. So,
okay.
Yeah. So I have to talk about, if we're doing a topic about anything, I have to maybe bring out something that...
Where's Africa?
From my country, so that they can also learn firsthand from someone.
That's pretty nice. They're not only about English, they're also learning about international culture. How do you get this kind of opportunity?
So you know that the Taiwanese government is working on bilingual policy by 2030, right?
Okay.
So what they do is that they hire students, international students, currently studying in Taiwan.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they hire international students. They have programs where they hire international students to go and be teaching assistants. And they can head clubs, they can teach in classes, they can just, so that the kids can have an interaction with someone not their English teacher.
Yes, mm. yes, yeah. pretty interesting. Yeah. So I like that. I'm glad to hear that our government finally do something right.
Yeah.
So, what do you think? What do you like to share about the current state of the fintech development in Taiwan? I mean, that's your major, and also one thing because you're studying Taiwan. What do you think about your future career path?
For my future career path, I think, as I mentioned before, that I think my interests really lie more on business digital transformation, right?
Yeah. So you're going to do a company in Taiwan?
I'm not so sure about what exactly, but for now, I think after I finish my master's, maybe I might do further research and go for a research degree for a PhD.
Okay.
PhD. Yeah.
Wow. So you're more like a scholar. Yeah. Your personality. I can feel like that.
Yeah. So that's where I'm looking forward to maybe do further research. Yeah. And
interesting.
Okay. And since you major in fintech, and fintech generally be divided into four aspects such as artificial intelligence, blockchain, cloud computing, and big data, which aspect are you most interested in?
I'm mostly interested in two, big data and AI. Because that's where my focus of research is. Because as I mentioned, my program is heavy on the computer science part. So we do a lot of research on AI and big data.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And nowadays we're using AI a lot.
For me,
I also use ChatGPT to write code for me. Yeah. And also Midjourney to produce the free photo for me.
Yeah. So I think for me it would be AI and how it can transform businesses. Mm.
Just for your information, if you saw our club, those of the post right now are written by ChatGPT.
that's good innovation.
I told him, like, could you write a promotion post on Instagram that I want to introduce one of our speakers from Zimbabwe and please focus on the international stuff.
That's really cool.
And I think Jin also write that. You know, actually our title for today. I asked Jin, man, could you give us some idea about the title, and she gave me some pretty legit title. I asked, hey guy, did you use ChatGPT?
Yes, I did.
I also use ChatGPT. I also use it sometimes when I want to have an idea on how to write an assignment, or I'm writing an application or things like that.
It's convenient.
Or when I'm writing some code, to get an idea of how it works.
So after you have graduated, would you like to stay in Taiwan or back to your country?
I think I would like to stay a few more years. Like I mentioned, I want to study further, maybe do a PhD.
Mm.
Yeah, and so that, because I feel like my background is not firm in the tech part.
Yeah.
Like I'm from the business background.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to study more and orient myself in the STEM field more. So I think I would like to stay a little bit. I think that's also why I've been lazy to travel around, because in my mind I think I still have maybe 3 more years around here, so I'll get time to travel around. So why I have been a little bit lazy to travel around as well. That's one of the reasons.
On top of that, I want to ask on, like, did Zimbabweans, is that pretty common for you to travel around the world or study overseas?
Because if, especially in the UK and the US and South Africa, we have, I think, pretty much anywhere in the world you can find a Zimbabwean.
Okay.
Pretty much anywhere in Australia. It's kind
of different than us. I mean, usually, I think there's only few people in Taiwan that will go study overseas.
Mm.
And most of the people, they will probably choose work in Taiwan, study in Taiwan. I mean, we still have people go overseas, but that's relatively a small amount of people.
We have a lot of people living in the diaspora, because from our economy, GDP, I think we had $1.5 billion remittances, people who live abroad, people who have started families abroad, who are now maybe doing investments back home. So, yeah, the diaspora is a big component of the Zimbabwean society. I think every family has got somebody who's now working or living maybe in London or the States or South Africa or somewhere. Every family has got somebody or in Australia or somewhere like that.
So since when that in your mind you have make a choice that I want to study overseas or working overseas?
For me, when I finished my bachelor's. Yeah, for me, when I finished my bachelor's, I was looking for, like I mentioned, to orient myself more into the technical aspects of things, because I felt like I had, if you studied accounting, I think it's pretty heavy on the business side, on the finance side. So I was looking now to venture into other things. So, yeah.
Okay.
And as stated above, when you go back to Zimbabwe someday, you start up your business, which part of fintech would you like try to apply on your work?
Yeah, okay. Interest, I think, change, but right now, the thing that because when you're applying for school, you also have to answer that question, right?
Yeah. Like, right? Yeah. You're right.
You have to. So for me, it was like I mentioned about savings and investments, you know, robo advising, things like that. I think it, because most of the fintech infrastructure in my country has been around financial payments. Like I mentioned, that we have a lot of diaspora people sending money. So sending money and doing all of this is quite huge in my country, like transferring money. So we have, I think we have a very good infrastructure for financial payments and processing. So we have a lot of startups doing that. But I feel like most people don't participate well enough in the capital market side of things. So my idea before coming here was to offer maybe a robo-advising product for
advice,
maybe for the average product. For the average consumer to participate in the capital markets, but something like that.
Okay, so you have your idea. What do you think might be the most difficult challenge that you may facing when you try to apply the tech?
Most startups in my country, the challenge, like I mentioned, is you need an ecosystem, right, to run a business. So for us now, because we are under sanctions, but the sanctions now have been reduced, right?
Yeah.
So it's quite difficult. Even the conversations now back home people are having on tech, it's quite difficult for people to really set up businesses and connections, and especially with American businesses, and to have all the kind of things that you need to run a business, maybe a expertise or things like that. So it's also a challenge to run a business because of the economic environment, of the political challenges that might be there. But so the major players in my country are well-established big companies, big corporations.
Okay.
But they also still face some challenges. And
I believe that you have to, I guess, that you have to first of all, you have to put the mindset of like saving or investment in people's education. And so that you can do this smoothly.
But also that, because we have been coming from a high inflationary era where people's savings were like eradicated.
No
So it's, you have to also to educate people on that, because people now don't have a trust in the financial system, right? Because
the currency.
Because they have had their savings, you know,
then
washed
just
away.
In one
night. Disappear. So you have also, like you mentioned, educate people on how
educate.
But the country, the government has been working to help them. Like I mentioned, they are building a new stock exchange that is only traded in United States dollars, right? Separate. So we now have two foreign stock exchange. We have one that trades in the local currency, but companies are moving from that to to the US dollar capital market.
Yeah. So I think, as you know, Erica and I are the members from Rotaract.
Okay.
So what do you think about Rotaract and the members?
No pressure.
No pressure. Count down.
No pressure. I'm not from them.
Yeah. She's not one for them.
I think the Rotaract is it's a good club. Yeah. Like I mentioned that I was looking for financing to come here, right? So I kind of looked through the global Rotaract page because they also offer scholarships, right?
Yeah, from Rotary Club.
Yeah. Because we also have a chapter in Harare in my country, but I was not a member of it. So I think it's my perception of it. I think it's more of a networking for young for people, right? To exchange ideas and develop each other, and so I think it's a really good platform, because we have that in my country, and I think it offers opportunities.
That's an international organization, and we are lovely to have you. On the other hand, if you know anyone who want to be speaker, you can also share with us.
Okay.
So last but not least, do you anything you want to share for the last part?
In regards to fintech, Taiwan or Zimbabwe?
I want to hear more about Zimbabwe.
I think the most image when people talk about Africa, my experience, is that you see the CNN, you see
National Geography,
and you see what do you call
Discovery.
What do you call those organizations that help people, right? And that's what you see most of the time. Like when they talk about Africa, they're talking
WHO.
They're talking about hunger and sometimes
disease.
That's what. But I don't think that's what they is out of Africa. So when you ask someone, what do you think of Africa? Right now, randomly in the street, they'll probably talk about disease, war, and things like that. But I don't think that's really what all there is to Africa there. It has different things that you can do. And like I said, that my country has got, you can experience people who are hungry.
Yes.
You can also experience people who are millionaires. So I think sometimes people, when they talk about Zimbabwe or Africa in general, they have a stereotype that maybe it's homogeneous, it's the same, everything, but it's quite not the same. You might go into one part and not recognize that you are in the Africa that you read about in the news, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, we have different neighborhoods that are so beautiful that you wouldn't even recognize. If someone did not tell you that, you're now in Harare, you would not know it. You probably think maybe you are in somewhere in the States or in Europe.
So it's a very good chance for us to break the stereotype today.
So I think that is what people might want to learn more about Africa. There is still those kind of challenges. But it's not homogeneous.
I think for me, the most impressive part would be, I assume that Taiwan as a country, we're quite in progress. And we think we're more international. But however, when you talk about, actually, there are almost some of the people in your family working in London, overseas. And then I realized that maybe, your country is more international than our people. And that's our stereotype.
I think if I'm to, this is my personal opinion. If I'm to judge, I would definitely say Zimbabwe is more international. Because we have Zimbabwe, I think, in every part of the world. We have Zimbabweans that are presidents of banks in the States. We have Zimbabweans that are in Hollywood. We have Zimbabweans that are in London.
Yes.
My own brother is in London right now. He's working in London. We have Zimbabweans that are working in Hong Kong, in Australia. So I think Zimbabweans are really definitely more international.
So that's our stereotype, because we kind of internet for Africa? There's so many countries, but it will feel like they are probably the same.
I know. Yeah. That's the kind of stereotype again. That Africa, it's different. Even in Zimbabwe, we have, like I mentioned, 16 different languages. Oh. So perhaps maybe you're looking at me and you think, oh, this is how Zimbabwean behaves, but this is just me.
Yes.
Who might meet a different Zimbabwean who is totally different from me, because it's very colorful, yeah, in terms of the social and cultural aspect. Yeah. So it's different. In like I mentioned, also we have different neighborhoods. We have very good. I think that's the major difference between developed and developing countries.
Yes.
Developing countries have the same things that developed countries have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and most people don't think about that. They think that developing countries don't have the things that developed countries have.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So developing countries have. The only difference is that those things are only available to a select population, not to everyone. I think that's the major difference in that, like I mentioned, there are A schools that are really, really, really good, right? Then there are also schools that are not good. But those A schools, not everyone can get into those schools.
But they are existing in the country.
Yeah. But they are there in Africa. Mm-hmm. There are good neighborhoods. There are good hospitals. There are everything. But they're just not accessible to everyone.
Mm.
So I think that's also a stereotype. Like, you look at Africa and you think everything is the same.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's great. And I would like to say thank you again, Kuda. Yeah.
Nice for having me here.
And it's about time to close the podcast for episode 6, 7?
Yeah, six.
Episode 6.
Yeah.
So we hope to see everyone there again.
Yeah, catch you next time.
Okay. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.